This show was brought to you by Ouch My Ego, ouchmyego.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to
What Did We Just Watch?
This episode is a very lighthearted episode, and it again features Travis Trapp as the guinea pig. Hi, Travis.
Hello.
What did we watch?
We watched Young Einstein.
Now, Australia's colossal comedy hit, starring its newest comedy hero, comes to the States. Yahoo Serious is Young Einstein.
Albert Einstein.
He is destined to create the most powerful scientific theories in history.
I discovered the formula for splitting beer atoms.
Only one girl is brilliant enough to understand him.
My name is Marie Curie.
Only one man is low enough to steal from him. Albert discovers that there are even worse things in the big city than a cat pie. For example,
an atomic bomb.
If ever the world needed a revolutionary new theory, it's now. At last, the incredible untold story of the greatest mind of all time, Albert Einstein. Thrill seeker, yeah! Lover, adventurer, genius.
Who is this barbarian?
I'm a Tasmanian.
Warner Brothers proudly presents Yahoo Serious as Young Einstein, one seriously funny movie.
Starring Yahoo Serious.
Yes. Is yes, that right? It is right. You've okay. never seen this before?
No. When I was a kid, I used to see the trailers on television, and I always thought it looked very weird. I mentioned earlier that I had avoided it, but I feel like I probably would have watched it and probably would have liked it if it was on TV or something, but it never occurred for some reason. But it was one of those movies that I kind of always felt like I wouldn't mind seeing, I guess. Sort of like Lawnmower Man. Like, I kind of felt like I probably won't like this movie, but I kind of want to see it at some point, just because I saw the trailers and it made kind of a weird impact on my life in that way.
Right, okay. That kind of makes sense. Something that you've seen. It was in America anyway. They had a heavy presence on TV, the commercials for it.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing it in the theater, but I remember seeing it a lot when I was younger. I really liked it, but this is the most conventional weird movie I think that we're going to review.
It was pretty safe. I mean, it was definitely kind of, it was wacky.
It was very straightforward, but there's a sort of a Terry Gilliam light kind of world.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very playful. I'm trying to think of a movie. I mean, there's probably many movies that are similar to it, but I'm trying to think of an example of one. I can't. Off the top of my head at this moment.
Well, have you seen The Adventures of Baron Munchausen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen
Well, certain things from this movie remind me of certain things of that movie, but they're movies that came around at the same time, a few years between mm-hmm. each other. But Young Einstein, just simply to tell the audience, it's the story of Young Einstein, except he's not this guy from Austria, but he's from Australia. I think that's actually the joke, Austria and Australia. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. Like, the whole concept of this movie is pretty... I want to say I dislike it, and I want to say, oh, I wish they had just done like a movie about a guy that wasn't Einstein, just a scientist that lived during this time, maybe that came before all of these other people that no one has ever heard of, and at the end of the movie, like, no one ever knows that he existed or something like that.
But are you saying you don't like it?
What, the movie?
Yeah.
I don't think I loved it that much. I thought it was okay.
I heard you laughing quite aloud a couple of times. Big laughs, big guffaws, especially a pig. A pig?
Yeah.
There's a shot of a pig.
There's a shot of a pig that I enjoyed.
And the Tasmanian devil at the beginning.
That was pretty good. I think that was my favorite part, that Tasmanian devil.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
it's
really stupid. The whole movie is a complete farce. It's a farce. It's silly. And what you said about it, wishing that they just had a story about a guy who invented or whatever something. Well, they did. They started it that way.
Oh, okay.
They started it with him, just a guy, discovering rock and roll.
Right.
So all that rock and roll stuff in the movie, that whole section, was from the original script, which wasn't Einstein. But Yahoo Serious started learning about Einstein and decided to merge
that.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with it. I mean, this is what I was thinking, like, while I was watching it, but, you know, I get it's got a nice quality to it for kids that would see it, and it is a kid's movie.
It's one of the few kids' movies that features male nudity. Not full frontal.
That's true.
But butts. Lots of butts, and a few drop the soap jokes and stuff. And
But it's a, I don't know, maybe that's just something that's us kind of Australian. I don't know for certain. I'm not from Australia. Maybe it's that humor, maybe more common there, maybe?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I've never been to Australia. But here's how it started. Yahoo was on a trip down the Amazon, and he saw a local wearing that shirt of Einstein sticking out his tongue. And so, so he got the seed there to merge. Like, Einstein is so far-reaching, I believe. He's like a legend.
Yeah.
There's another movie called IQ about Einstein as an old man being a Cupid, in a way.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, with Tim Robbins and Meg Ryan. And that's a cute movie. In a way, it's similar where it just tells a lie about this guy.
Right.
Furthers the legend. But this one goes in and he just fabricates this entire legend about him being an Australian from Tasmania. By the way, all the apple jokes.
Right.
Anytime there's an apple, that's a reference to Tasmania being the apple.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A lot of these things are... There's probably a lot more...
Australian.
In the movie that I just don't get or don't appreciate as a joke. I just think of it as just kind of a weird little quirky thing that they're doing.
Right.
Maybe there's a whole history behind it that I'm just not aware of.
I wasn't aware of the Apple thing until today, actually. But I really like Yahoo Serious, and he's only done 3 movies.
Let me be clear. Like, I didn't... I found the movie likable.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it in that way. I mean, I did chuckle from time to time. And he is a good character, you know?
Yeah.
He's a likable character, very much so.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's cool. It's important that you say that, I know. Yahoo Serious is a guy that he's only made 3 movies, and I don't know of anything else that he's actually had his hand in. And I thought that he would be, in a way, like a Pee Wee Herman of Australia, where you recognize him by his look, by his hair, by his quirky way, and then he would do this output in that way. The 3 movies that he's done was Yahoo Serious, and then Reckless Kelly, based on Ned Kelly, except it's another one of those fabricated farces, legend sort of thing. Ned Kelly is an outlaw, legendary outlaw in Australia. He's like an anti-hero. People have festivals in his honor and all that stuff. But the third one is Mr. Accident, and that is a really conventional sort of quirky love story versus corporate agenda story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also silly and wacky. Of the 3 movies, the 2 good ones are the first and the last one he's done, and Reckless Kelly isn't that good, from what I remember. Still, no matter how much I try to reject it, sometimes nostalgia gets the better of me.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie is probably why I enjoy it so much, is based on nostalgia, I think.
Yeah, and that's kind of what, like, how I feel. Like, I watch it, and it's like, it's a likable movie. I enjoyed it for what it was, but I mean, it's not, I mean, I had to have seen it when I was a kid to develop any sort of connection to it. Like, other than that, it's one of those movies I'm going to watch, like, once, and then probably never watch it again.
Yeah.
Or think about it again, probably after I leave.
Oh, you'll think about it.
Maybe.
You'll think about it. Things will pop up here and there, and you'll think, like, I want you to damn it. Next time you hear damn it in any kind of context, you're going to think of...
Now, do you know what I'd like you to do with this valley, Albert?
What, Dad?
Damn it!
Possibly. And I'm wrong sometimes. Sometimes I'll see a movie and I'll just be like, oh, that was awful. And then I'll come back to it later and be like, you know what? This is actually pretty good. And you'll develop a quality to it that keeps you coming back. And that may be the case with this. I'm not sure.
Let's get into the meat of the story. The story is, he is a sciencey kid, and he's not an apple farmer, but his dad wants him to be a farmer and to dam the valley. And he is a pacifist. Says no. And then his dad's like, all right, so you're a scientist, huh? Shows him his grandfather's still and tells him to put bubbles in it. So he gets to thinking, put bubbles in it. How do I do that?
There is one thing that would force bubbles into beer. I mean, I suppose you can split a beer atom.
Yeah, I like how he just jumps to splitting atoms.
Yeah, he's sitting by the fire, and then he starts thinking, science stuff, and then splitting a beer atom. So then he goes about and does it, and it's all done with sound effects.
Now, all I have to do is split this beer atom. Where's that chisel?
Where's my chisel? I have always loved the absurdity of this movie. A little bit of it reminds me of Monty Python as well. That's a Terry Gilliam touch, I think. This one has a sort of look to it that's similar to Meaning of Life, I think, when they get to the big city. So, yeah, he writes E equals MC squared. Nobody understands it, which is a running gag in this story. They
Emk.
Yeah! See, I love it. It's so stupid.
Emk?
Emk. Yeah, so he goes to the city to patent it, and they won't let him patent it. And then there's a Snidely Whiplash sort of character who he meets when he meets also Marie Curie, the lady scientist that he ends up up falling in love with. They hit it off, but the Snidely Whiplash character, I don't remember his name. Let me ask you. You're born, right? And you have a certain type of face, as this actor does.
Uh-huh. Wait, which character?
The villain.
Okay. An evil face.
Yeah, like, is that the only thing that you're relegated to in life? You're like, I'm gonna be an actor! Well, I'm gonna only play bad guys. Well, I don't know of any other roles that he's played, but this is, his face is perfect for it.
I sometimes wonder if people actually, like, develop personalities based on how they look. So if they look like a nasty-looking person, you know, they'll develop a nasty personality. And if they look like a kind person, they'll develop a kind personality. And of course I know this isn't true.
Well, I think maybe degrees... crossed my mind. I don't think it's. I don't think your theory right there is 100% valid, but I don't think it's invalid either. I think, you know, nature, nurture, and part of nature is your face.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So if you have, like, a really disfigured face, you're going to have an ogre-ish personality.
You're possibly going to be ostracized by your peers, but then this guy, Preston, that's the character's name, he is an heir to the Preston fortune, so he's just this rich snob. But this actor, he does a perfect job at it, by the way. His face, though, just totally looks like that rich snob that you want to punch.
He's got a very punchable face. There's a scene where he yells loudly near the end. And I just
anytime he freaks out, he's also got really perfect freak outs. He freaks out at the lizard.
I'm sorry. Oh my god. It's just a little snake.
It's a lizard.
Yeah.
He freaks out at that thing. He freaks out at the end with the atomic bomb that he inadvertently makes. Anyway, I don't know. That's a big digression. I just think that guy is perfectly cast. In fact, everybody seems to be perfectly cast. All the crazy mad scientists are perfectly cast.
Yeah, the cast was good, but everybody was very likable. They all had good personalities. Very funny, very humorous. Yeah, I think everybody... I don't think I had any issues with the cast. It was all pretty solid.
Yeah. So, the deal is he gets equals MC squared stolen from him by Preston. That guy inadvertently turns it into a bomb.
Mr. Darwin, Preston's built an atomic bomb.
No, I didn't! At a beer factory, Bavarian Beer Company in Australia. And they're going to unveil it. We put bubbles into beer, ha ha ha. And there's a big bomb that's going to go off. And the only thing that can save it is rock and roll. As played by Albert Einstein.
Of course. And surfing. He should have been surfing while playing rock and roll on like a tidal wave of beer.
Ah, dude!
After it exploded. I feel like it could have been... that may be... complaint I have is I feel like that movie could have been crazier.
Yeah, no, you're right. I actually think that probably the problem is that they had budget constraints and had...
Sure.
Well, this is an odd history for this movie. Started in 1984 with that one script, and then he started developing it as Young Einstein. They pre-sold it and got an American company to help them fund it, and they shot half of the movie. So they showed that, and then they were like, no, we don't... We don't think so.
No, this is not going to work out. Sorry.
Right. So some muck happened with the American company, and they pulled out. Then the Australian Film Board gave them more money, and they just kind of shot it from the ground up again and made it what they really wanted to make it. But I still think that budget constraints equal they can't push it as crazy as it could be, which is what you just said is totally perfect.
Yeah.
That's so creative right there. And that's in my dream version of this movie. Thank you.
No problem.
The exploding keg, beer surfing, playing the guitar.
And then he rescues the girl
while being
on the surfboard.
Yeah, while still being like fried in red paint, whatever happened to him with his hair and his skin. He's painted a lot in this movie.
Yeah, that's something distinct. I remember from the trailers, they kept showing all of those scenes of him with crazy hair, covered in paint, or with that electric guitar violin thing that he made. And that's what I remember. And I remember I was telling you earlier, like, my memory of this film was kind of a merging of different things I had seen around that time that I hadn't seen. And so I always imagined it like Tron meets this movie, you know, in any scene where he's got a guitar and he's got, you know, just wild hair, and Fritz Lang's Metropolis. It was some sort of weird, you know, amalgamation of those things.
Thinking about what came out around that time, 88 and 89, it came out in America in 89. Can't think of anything Fritz Lang like.
No, I don't know why it was just, everything was in grays and reds. It's just very strange. A strange memory of something that I never saw, you know, it's just...
I get where the red comes from, but I think maybe there's a couple of scenes in the movie where the buildings, the alleyway that he skips down, they're kind of monolithic. They're super high up. Sometimes the camera tilts up, sort of, and you see the claustrophobia of those two buildings being so high and close together.
It may not have been anything to do with that trailer. It's just a number of different memories kind of merged together over time and created this image of what this movie was. I actually thought this movie was going to be a lot more serious. I didn't realize it was going to be...
No pun intended.
Like a comedy. I really didn't know what the hell it was about. But actually, now that you mentioned like Pee Wee Herman earlier, and that's actually kind of the sort of movie it is. It's got that vibe to it.
Yeah. I do think that the song at the end of the movie, where he just rocks out and he goes, "Here's my new theory," and then he rocks out to the crowd, I think that went on too long.
Yeah, that I kept kind of thinking in my head, like, I bet this guy wants to be, like, a musician or something, and this is, like, as close as he's ever going to get. He gets to pretend to be a musician in his movies or something.
I think this is the only one that he does the music thing in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, would you or wouldn't you recommend this movie to anyone?
Actually, while I was watching it, it was like, I could think of one person. One of the guys reminds me of a student of mine, and I was like, this kid would love this movie. There's a number of kids I think would probably enjoy it. My nephew would probably enjoy it.
It's a rather innocent film, even with the male nudity in it. It's just it's just a bathing scene, and they're in an insane asylum, and they're all just bathing, and there's nothing naughty about it.
Well, there's a reference to
dropping the soap,
but no, it's not too bad. It really, it does not come across as...
That's just for the parents in the audience.
Yeah.
For kids, I was a teenager when I saw this, and I was really attracted to bonkers, silly movies at the time. So like Bill and Ted movies, the Pee Wee movie.
The Bill and Ted. Yeah, that's another one that this feels similar.
Yeah. So it came out around the same time. They were all made around the same time.
Yeah, you know. That may be even closer to it. It's got similar qualities, and I appreciate how it uses history. Not necessarily that it uses it correctly, but that...
Because it doesn't.
It uses it, but at the same time, if you're a kid and you're watching these things, you remember certain details because they're funny.
Yeah.
And they're true details. They're true things to some degree, some of them. Not exactly the way they happened, of course.
Right.
But
right.
The theory itself, or the fact that Napoleon... Obviously, the kid knows he never got on any water slides or ate any ice cream, but you know that he was a general. And at the very least, you can go after you see the movie and you can go, was Einstein really like this, mom or dad or whoever? And you kind of just start thinking about who they are, and maybe the kid will go home and look it up.
I was thinking of this movie didn't inspire in me a thirst for knowledge in the sciences. It didn't but maybe
it's not the case.
I was already a kid who was enthralled with drawing and had the attitude towards making art and being insane.
Yeah.
So I was already that way before I saw the movie, but I really, really appreciated the science stuff in the movie, and I still do, and I did then. But if you get this movie to a kid early enough, it might inspire them to do science. To pursue it in a very wacky way.
Or at least appreciate that science is important.
Yeah.
And that studying it is worthwhile and can turn you into a rock star.
Yeah, and the Marie Curie stuff too, for the girls, for the boys even, just say ladies can do science just as good as any man. In fact, sometimes better. And that's something that's addressed in this movie as well. It's got some social issues here. It's pretty interesting. Classism, it's got sexism addressed. corporatocracies and stuff.
Masterwork. It's got many layers.
Yeah, but it's all wrapped up in a really dumb, silly movie. And I find that some dumb, silly movies, my favorite ones, tend to be written by people who have a brain behind it.
Right.
So I recommend this movie to anyone, except there are parameters to that. Do you want to watch a dumb movie? Do you want to watch a silly movie? Do you want to watch a movie that's just kind of bonkers? It's not the most crazy on What Did I Just Watch. We're going to get crazier. There are crazier movies. We're going to touch on these silly, light ones every once in a while just for a breather, you know? Can't rack the brain with too many hallucinations. I like this film, but I think a lot of it's steeped in nostalgia, and I'm realizing that as we talk about it.
And that's no fun for me, you know? Because if you've heard the podcasts, any of the other podcasts that I've been involved in, you'll know that I don't really take to nostalgia as a, you know, way of life or an identity sort of thing. So I guess we'll just leave it here. Fun movie, nostalgic romp. I hate myself. See ya.
Adios, amigos.
Damn it!
Hi, Andrew Jemetzko here. If you like what you've been listening to and want to help, point your cursor or fiddly digits to patreon.com/Jemetzko. Tossing a few coins in our direction helps keep me fed with food and drink. I mean, what else during those long editing sessions? What's Patreon, you ask? Well, it's kind of like a GoFundMe or Kickstarter sort of thing. So why not lend us a hand? It'll surely help. Editing's a full-time job. That's patreon.com/Jemetzko. G-I-M-E-T-Z-C-O. Thanks a ton.